Sunday Meditation, February 24th, 2002. Question this week has to do with communication, I guess, real communication. It's hard enough to be honest and to speak clearly to another person about what you're thinking and feeling. We're wondering how a person can also engage the heart so that the intellectual communication that you share isn't just a means of attacking or defending, but that you're also able to engage how you really feel and maybe the higher principles that you believe in, the concept of love and forgiveness and compassion. How would you recommend, Quo, that people who are having difficulty communicating, not so much being honest, but how would you recommend people be able to get to their hearts, to be vulnerable, to share what's really important and of foremost importance in their lives?
We are those of the principle known to you as the Kuo. And we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. It is a great blessing to us, as always, to be called to your group. And we thank each for setting aside this time to seek in the silence for truth, that truth that often has no words, but is shaped in the silence and molded in infinity. We thank you for the thoughtfulness of this question. Surely communication is a principal avenue through which learning and service may take place among the people. And we find it a provocative subject, one with many subtleties. So we are glad to tackle it with you. We ask that, as always, each maintain a degree of discrimination concerning anything that we or any other seeming authority may have to say. Do not buy anyone's ideas because of the excellence of their character, but rather subject all incoming thoughts to your own powers of discrimination, for you will recognize those truths, pleasant or uncomfortable, that are yours. They will resonate for you and not leave you. Focus on those few thoughts that really ring a bell with you. And we would ask that you leave all others aside. For ideas that are not resonant to one can only confuse. And we do not wish to confuse, but to aid. So please, we ask each of you, use that discrimination that is yours. To speak of communication is to speak of many levels of conveyance. Much more goes on within a communication between one entity in third density and another than is seen upon the surface. Upon the surface, there is a, shall we say, a two-dimensional quality to the shape of words and the structure of sentences. And if communication were a matter of the words, then our discussion would be very simplified. Yet, in truth, communication is a far more multidimensional process than the words alone would suggest. When we speak words through this instrument, in actuality, we usually are offering to this instrument concepts which do not come in the shape of words, but rather have that quality of infinity which rounds the two-dimensional into the third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth dimensions, all of those dimensions being the layers of meaning and reference that each entity has created within its own internal structure, far below the level of words, into which incoming information shall be placed, so that the same words coming into the field of 12 different entities will mean 12 different, fairly complex sets of things. And when communication becomes more complex than asking for something to be passed or requesting that something be taken from one, when communication becomes a matter of expressing shades of opinion and discrimination of feeling, then the subtlety of possible techniques of communication becomes more and more obvious. It is helpful, we think, to step back and look at who is communicating. As you sit in your chair within this circle, each of you would seem to be a fairly well-defined physical object. You weigh so many pounds, you have so much mass, you have certain color hair, you have a certain color eyes, you present a fairly simplified picture of a finite entity, yet in truth, within your finite bounds, each of you contains the heavens and the earth and all that on them is. Each of you is all that there is, and all that there is resides within you. How is this possible? It is not possible in a linear world. Of course, we do not believe that any of us lives in a linear world. We see that as a simple illusion, an illusion within a larger set of illusions. And all of these illusions are acceptable and proper, and as they should be. Not in order to keep people in the dark or confused, but in order to express the endlessness of being. For each of you is within the tiny structure of bone and muscle and heartbeat, the Creator. the created, and all that between them is. So you are infinitely valuable and of infinite proportions and size. And as you approach each other, you are as stars that rotate in their orbits so that they come into contact with each other. Two incredibly radiant, powerful beings whose effulgence and splendor is beyond description. And how shall that star, which is you, shine in such a way as to communicate to that star which is shining back at you? If you hold this image, you may see that within this image lies the question of energy fields and how they attract or repulse each other. It may be seen that some entities will be helped and pulled together by the forces that will naturally drive other entities apart. Because each entity has a certain quality of vibration which carries a certain charge. And we would not call this a positive, negative dynamic, because that would suggest that in communication, one entity may be positive and another therefore must be negative. This is not so. It is more subtle than that. It is simply a matter of each energy field, each person, that is, having a very discernible, clear signature of being that expresses far below the level of self-awareness. You put out a very clear signal, each of you. We can recognize you and pick you out from all of the billions of entities that dwell now upon your planet. There is only one of you. There is only one of each of you. And each of you is precious and unique and quite necessary. If in human communication it can be remembered that each entity is worthy of respect, is necessary for the survival of the group as a whole, and is that which is acceptable, then we feel that communication would perhaps become somewhat less difficult. In truth, we are fully aware that in the hurry and scurry of ordinary life, it is extremely difficult to remember that entities that are upon the surface displeasing to the self, nevertheless, are beautiful, necessary, and perfect in their way, just as you are beautiful, necessary, and perfect in your way. The goal of communication often seems to be to come to a resolution, to effect a change, to get things done. And again, we would suggest that it is helpful when working upon communication to realize that there are times when the goal of communication is not so much to attain a desired goal, but rather there are times when communication has the goal simply of expressing the dynamic that is occurring, not with a drive to find a solution, but in the spirit of clarification, so that between two entities who differ, there comes into being, as a result of the communication, the sense of each entity having a growing understanding or grasp of that fuller nature of that other self that lies behind the seemingly flat surface of a disagreement or a point of discussion. Within your world, processes take on the qualities of chemical interactions, where there is always a vector, there is always a direction, there is always an arrow pointing from 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. Processes. This is what entities tend to expect from communication, that information will be received, processed, work will be done, decisions shall be made, and all entities shall be fully informed and able to go forward. And certainly there are many, many times when two entities may accomplish these things with very little effort. And those are blessed times, certainly. However, you asked concerning those communications which seem to have gone awry. And as you asked these questions, we could sense within you that assumption that the goal of a conversation would be to come to a conclusion. And we would suggest that this is not always the model that is most helpful for communication. We would suggest, rather, that there are times when it is important that each who attempts to communicate simply be able to express the emotions, mental structures, and spiritual considerations that have injected themselves into the matter about which communication is taking place. For you see, all of the things that are in your life are placeholders for things of the spirit. All things are alive. All things are ready to tell you their story. And so you have a much more complex, interesting, intricate, vibrant universe than the intellect perhaps can perceive. There are upwelling energies from the archetypal level that are simply waiting for the opportunity to work their magic within the fragile structure of human incarnation. There are wonderful, powerful spiritual energies that are just waiting for channels through which they may run, be blessed, and come into the power and ownership of the earth in general. But communication sounds simple, but in the processes of communication lie the, may we say, salvation or redemption of the entire group. And it is very much as a group that those of planet Earth shall move forward, and not as an individual and then as another individual. But each of you are as an ineluctably intertwined portion of the group that is the humankind of planet Earth. And there is a tremendous amount of energy that wishes to cooperate with that group's working together to move forward as a group. Consequently, there is a tremendous spiritual bias towards attempts at communication, no matter how clumsy, awkward, or seemingly unsuccessful. In the face of this great bias on the part of the Creator towards communication, we may say that it is tempting, even seductive, to enter the lists of communication as if it were a medieval jousting match, with the communicators loading up their armor and getting on their destroyers and heading towards each other with shield in one hand and lance in the other to communicate this idea and that idea and get across to the other person, and in the process, of course, knock that person off of his feet and win at the lists of communication. This is not a model that we would encourage. We would encourage rather the model that realizes that right and wrong have only a limited amount of energy, whereas truth and love are equal in their energies, so that there is not a one-time linear truthfulness to any opinion or feeling that is being communicated, but rather that which is being communicated is the tip of an iceberg. And that when the skillful person hears that which is communicated, that person is willing to open his awareness to take in not simply the point of the iceberg that is showing above water, not simply the words, is willing to open to the unseen presence of all that is below the waterline, all that is unsaid, all that fills out the substance of an opinion or a feeling that is being communicated. So that each can see the other as a positive source of information and support, even when there seem to be huge discrepancies in opinion and ample evidence suggesting the impossibility of a happy conclusion to a communication. It is not necessary to have a happy ending in order to have good communication, nor is it necessary to have the opposite, to have a seeming tangle and disagreement and one entity prevail over another. These dynamics are dynamics of illusion. That which is valuable is the spirit within each of the parties who communicates. So that if left to choose between someone who says all of the right words and someone who is able in any way to enter into the respect of the infinite qualities of the self and other self, we would choose every time that fool who was not communicating with particular skill, but who was receiving communication and offering communication in the humble awareness of the infinite qualities of self and other self. A growing awareness of this nature of hidden things in the most simple communication is very helpful to the developing spirit. And in any way that you can, we encourage you to support these growing awarenesses within yourself that begin to see into that other self in a way that lifts judgment and takes it away from the field of vision so that the self may see the other self in a sweetness of reception based upon the awareness of that entity's deeper nature and value. How is this possible? How can the ordinary person give up the linear processes that seem so clear and obvious, and instead embrace those values that lie beyond sense? We can only say that it begins within the self. For the first entity with whom each of us, on whatever level of learning, must communicate is the self with the self. How do you communicate with yourself? What conversations have you had with yourself this day? Have they been clear communications? Have they been kind or charitable? Have you respected yourself even when those thoughts that you had in your heart were not what you would have chosen? Do you scold yourself? Are you honest with yourself? How do you treat your own self? We would suggest to you that many of you, if not all of you, have habits of abuse with yourself. This may sound as if it were not so, but look into your treatment of yourself. And we think you will find that you are as impatient and upset and rude with yourself as you are with others. Before others can hurt you many times, by the way that you treat yourself, you have already caused yourself pain. We would suggest to you that there is great value in listening and in silence, in opening and letting go, in being empty, and being comfortable with being empty. We would suggest that it is not the first goal of communications to make sense or achieve objects, but rather the first goal of communication is to open the heart to another entity and allow that entity to see your heart. In terms of energy, communication is far beyond that which is thought of as communication among your peoples. What passes for communication among your peoples is often that which never achieves any energy level beyond red, orange, and yellow-red concern. Much communication among your peoples does not involve the heart. And we would suggest that skill in communication involves becoming a spiritually viable entity that moves into the heart, anchors the self within the heart, and only then turns outward with a willingness to share ideas. Were entities to invoke their own open hearts before each communication, we feel that much that is contentious among the peoples would naturally fall away. Again and again, it is necessary to move into the silence of one's own heart. Call to yourself this day. With that inner tolling bell of love unknown, let that bell within toll for you. Let it ring out and resound in the shoals and the deep waters of your being. Open yourself to the wonder of that which is within you, and allow a larger picture of self to emerge. A picture of a self that sees the creation it has made and says it is good. For you are co-creator in a far more specific way than you perhaps realize. You, by the seeds of love that you sow this day, create the world of tomorrow. Thusly, we simply ask of each of you to lift the linear judgment away from the limitations of eyesight. Lift away from the limitations of
that which is seemingly being communicated in any situation. So that as you come to the communication in its seeming outward form, which is words, expressions, and body language, you have as much realization as you can bring into your heart of the beauty, the sacredness, and the worth of each and every entity that is within your world. The processes of linear thought shall continue to work as they have for third density entities for millennia. But the value of communication never remains at the level of problems solved and information shared. The value of communication lies in the reception of each by each in such a way that each is a helper to each. Each is a supporter and an encourager to each. When communication finds ways to embrace this realization of the preciousness of each other, then that which is communicated enters into the mutual systems of the two in a far more enhanced way, which is very powerful in deep subconscious levels of connection. For you see, what you are actually doing in communicating betwixt each other is creating connections of a certain kind. And the hoped-for result of communication, we may say, for those who are service to others oriented, is an energy exchange, which is helpful to both parties. And it is this particular instrument's opinion, and has been for some time, that when she responds to a request for help from someone who assumes that she is a teacher, what she is actually doing is not sharing information as much as sharing love. And it is in the acceptance of that other self, the honoring and respecting of that other self, that the communication begins to have real worth. Not simply in what is said, but in the energy which runs beneath the words. Thusly, we ask each of you, what energy runs beneath the words that you say? Are you powering your communication in the heart? Are you powering and empowering yourself by the respect and honor that you give yourself, regardless of the mistakes that you may seem to make? What judgments have you made against yourself this day? And what merit do those judgments have? We pray that each of you may ponder these things, truly you ask a very advanced question when you ask concerning communication. Communication, when it is truly working, is a spiritual event. A mutually strengthening, mutually validating experience. When you can come to communication with yourself and feel that you have honored and respected yourself, only then can you be said to be ready to communicate fully with another. It is extremely helpful to realize that the nature of communication is that of speaking to a mirror. The other self with whom you are communicating is a very faithful mirror of you. And the things that you see in that mirror are those things within yourself with which you either greatly agree or greatly disagree. Usually, amongst their density entities, the preponderance of reactions one has concerning other selves remains loaded with bias and judgment and a lack of love. And this is as it should be in an environment in which you are, each of you, attempting to fathom what love is and to begin to make choices that are loving choices. Realize each time that you begin to communicate that you are communicating with a creator and that that creator is communicating back to you, offering you a mirror in which you may see your nature. We hope these poor thoughts may not confuse, but rather help each to open the heart to the profundity and limitlessness of the Spirit. You are ethereal beings caught into a matrix of birth and death, living and dying, light and dark. You walk this road at this time for infinite reasons, but with finite steps. Thusly, you are a creature of two worlds at once, one with measure and one that is immeasurable. And both of these parts of self are equally so. Yet, dealing from the standpoint of infinity, the life experience opens out in a very different way from that life that is approached from the level of linear sense and activity. Thusly, we point you always to the path of silence and opening within. thusly we point each to the value of silence and the opening of the self within that silence to the infinite unknown and to the goodness and beauty of that which is not yet known. Allow the mysterious to empower your imagination. Allow those infinite qualities that do not seem to be a part of communication to enter into your willingness. And that shall open up your ability to move through difficult material in such a way as to empower each, yourself, and other self, in ways that move beyond linear truth. For the greater truth is always unity, harmony, and consolidation of disparate things into beautiful and useful patterns. There is a beautiful and useful pattern in between each and every soul with whom you shall come in contact in this life. There is always a full possibility of resolution, peace, and moving forward, no matter how infinitely impossible the two points of a disagreement may seem to be. We thank you for allowing us to speak with you this day and realize that we have spoken too long, as we sometimes do. So we will take our leave of this instrument at this time and continue this communication through the one known as Jim. We thank this instrument and leave it in love and in light. We are those of the Kuo.
I am Kuo, and greet each again in love and in life through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to ask if we may speak to any shorter queries that may yet remain upon the minds of those present. Is there a shorter query at this time?
I have a question, Kuo. Earlier, the group was talking about our ongoing discussion with Peter Schiffer and our strong feelings that it is better to accept Peter even though we don't agree with him than to attempt to control the situation and have our will over his and wrest our material back from him. And we realize it is a very unworldly way of thinking. I wonder if you have any comments to make on our continuing feelings that this is the way we should act.
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. We feel that in this matter, it is in the general area of walking the walk, as one talks, we talk. This is a phrase which we have heard used many times in your metaphysical discussions, where the principles by which entities such as yourselves live are tested. When such a test presents itself to the seeker, it is well that the seeker set those priorities by which it lives its life. And then remain steadfast in those priorities, observance, though there may be a price in worldly terms to pay. For that which you seek to do, though it is in this world, is not of it. You seek to be more than you are. You seek to be beacons of light. If therefore you shall be a beacon of light, worry not about the splinter that is in another's eye. Worry about how clearly you see yourselves. Is there another query, my sister?
If you would pardon me, I do have another one, and it's on a different subject entirely. I've had three different people say to me in the last 2 weeks that humankind needs more DNA than it has, and something must be done to improve the DNA structure, or humankind won't make it out of third density into fourth, and we'll be, as a group, stuck here repeating and repeating. The model that all three of these people have used is that we don't have it and we need to go out and get it. They're referring to extra strands of DNA that would enable us to do this and that. My model of it, and the one that I feel at this point is probably more correct by far, is that we have everything that we need, and it's been turned off, and we just have to find a place to allow it to be turned on again. Of those two models, would you have an opinion as to which one is more accurate, or would you feel that this is even a valid concern at all?
I am aware of your query, my sister. As third density beings, your mind-body-spirit complex has been equipped with all the necessary prerequisites for utilizing the catalyst of this choice-making density. It is not that you need more equipment, shall we say, but to refer instead to your owner's manual, shall we say. The answers are in your heart, not in your DNA. Is there another query?
No, thank you.
I have a query, and it may be rather simplistic, but I've taken to collecting quotes from readings in church, Bible readings, that kind of thing. And just from one, I remember the last phrase, obey me. And that can mean obey me, like taken from Bible text, whatever, or obey me as, like with Carl, what you hear from the Holy Spirit, whatever. What do you take that to mean? Obey me, because it's so hard for me to know sometimes exactly what that means, and am I doing it? I'm finished.
I have a quote. We are aware of your query, my sister. But to this query, we would respond by suggesting that to obey is to give over one's personal decision-making in favor of another's who perhaps one feels is more wise, more powerful, more loving, and so forth. This is a free will choice which any can make. Each entity, as it matures within your culture, comes under the influence of many authorities that must needs be obeyed for a certain period of time. The parents in the upbringing, the teachers in the school, the, shall we say, bosses, the entities that are placed above one in the work environment, that this work may be accomplished in such and such a manner. However, at some point, each entity must exercise its own ability to choose that which it shall do, that which it shall say, that which it shall believe, that star, shall we say, that it shall follow, that it might reach the higher goals of the spiritual life. At some point, the obeying of another is not enough to take one to the highest levels of being, of serving, of loving. It must be instead the inner directed spiritual seeker that fashions its journey from all it has learned, from all it believes, and from all it seeks to gain. Is there a further query, my sister?
No, that's a great help. Thank you.
I am quoted. We thank you, my sister. Is there another query at this time?
Thank you so much, Kim. I'm just really glad to have you to ask. I appreciate it.
I am quite. And we also are most grateful for each query that has been presented to us this day. For it allows us to serve in the way which we feel is most helpful. Thus, together, we aid each other on the journey of seeking the one Creator. In each experience, in each other, and in ourselves. For indeed, the Creator resides in all things and in all people. At this time, we shall take our leave of this instrument and this group. We leave each as always in the love and in the ineffable light of the one infinite Creator. We are known to you as those of Quark, by the name of things, by the name.
I don't know.